Our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, and it's on page 1082 in our church Bibles. It's John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15 until verse 31. So that's John chapter 14, starting at verse 15. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I am going away and I'm coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave."
Thank you very much indeed, Jenny. The sermon for today was sent through to me quite a few weeks ago. Didn't kind of look at it until this week. So my piece went from, I was quite happy, to thinking, I'm going to have to preach about peace. So I haven't been very peaceful recently. But peace for all of us is something that we look for, don't we? It's something that we pray for, certainly. Lord, let there be peace. I was out on the streets of Sunderland last night with street pastors. Yes, I go to Sunderland. I'm a missionary. Somebody's got to be in North Tyneside. Are sending our own grouping now. There's three of us going over there. So if you'd like to come and join us anytime in street pastors in Sunderland, we would be very grateful for your presence. But it's something that we're looking for. We pray for peace on the streets. We pray that the police might have peace on that particular night. They didn't have a lot of peace last night, or should I say, in general, the police did. The specials didn't, who were out in force last night, because it was volunteer night. So the specials were out. And there seems to be very little peace in the world at the moment. We seek it in our homes. And we try just about anything to try and grab hold of that little bit of peace in our lives. I don't know if anybody's tried some of the herbal remedies to try and get you calm, give you a little bit of sleep. Even the meditation aids, some of them work, some of them are great, some of them don't work terribly well. We seek peace in our relationships, don't we? We go into counselling to find peace within ourselves and with one another. We read books or we listen to sermons and we ask for advice from close friends. Newspaper columns help to resolve relational problems. But peace now seems more elusive than ever before. We search for peace in safety, the safe place to be, separating ourselves off from others or grouping together if we possibly can. And here's a snippet from a book called The Elusive Fruit. It's by Jim Kane. And he said this: many years ago, a retired couple concerned about the threat of nuclear war decided to carefully research the safest place on Earth to which they could move and live. They studied and they traveled. They traveled and they studied. Finally, they found the place. It was the 80s, so they could go there. At Christmas, they sent their pastor a postcard from their new home in the Falkland Islands, just prior to the war between Argentina and Great Britain. So finding peace in a place doesn't work. So how about those therapy situations? And here's the joke for today, just in case you don't quite get it. I've been to a therapist recently to find some inner peace for my life. Their advice was quite simple. I was told the way to achieve inner peace is to finish what I start. So far today, I have finished 2 bags of crisps and 1 chocolate bar. There's something in this. I feel better already. There are lots of people giving advice and writing books about peace. Peace is often talked about as an absence of things, isn't it? Some things, those things that would be absent, are of course things like violence, conflict, pain, suffering, war. We know about those things, don't we? But peace isn't about the absence of something. It's about the presence of someone. Spiritual, biblical peace is the presence of Jesus, not the absence of outward issues. If you get nothing from today, that's basically the message, so you can all go. But let's think about that just for the next, how long have we got? Ooh, 15 minutes. John 14 is one of Jesus' farewell addresses with a keynote saying, don't be afraid, don't fear, be at peace, calm down, it's only, no. We are not to fear. He's going to make everything perfect in our lives. No, he wasn't. He wasn't going to make everything perfect. In fact, things were going to get worse from the time he started his speech. Because did everybody get along with Jesus? No. Actually, he aggravated so many people, they wanted to crucify him. Peace, as I've already said, is not the absence of things, but the presence of a right relationship with Jesus, a right relationship with him. Adrian Rogers so powerfully said, peace is not the subtraction of our problems, but the addition of the power to face and overcome them. Now, I know that most of you will realize that the word for peace that is used in the Bible is shalom. Shalom means wholeness. It doesn't just mean an absence of war, as we all realize. It's wholeness. It's outward. It's the outward image of it, but it's also inside us. It's personal. It's social. It's psychological. It's theological. Ooh, big words for us today. But shalom, in biblical terms, requires the confession. A confession of Jesus in our lives. Because peace is given by God. My peace I give to you, is what Jesus said to them. My peace I give to you. It's a different kind of peace that he's going to give us. It's not as the world would give us. Romans 5, verse 1 says, it's because of his work for us and in us that we are whole. God desires to give you wholeness. He's not the one that will keep you from the peace struggle. Since the cross, the outstretched arms of Jesus are open for you to take hold of his hand and become whole in your lives. The world says peace only comes when a conflict ends. Instead, Jesus says, I offer you the gift of wholeness within the conflict of your life. Right where you are. Right in that moment when you are struggling and suffering, that is where you can find peace. And it's that presence of him, even when the trials are fighting and whirling against you, even when you're at your sickest, even when your mind seems to be going in all different directions, the peace of God is with you. To reach out, to find. And it's not just a kind of an out there type peace. It's a peace that he has said we have within us. You have it. Your heart must not be troubled. Now, that's a hard one for me because in my life, I am troubled. I have various things going on. And there are things in my life that I struggle with. But there are readings in the Bible, and this one, the one that actually I'm thinking of is from Habakkuk. God tells us that the just will live by faith. Faith is a trust in the goodness of God that keeps our hearts from being fearful about situations or the results. So no matter if you're going to the doctors and you're finding, or you're going to be going and finding out results of examinations, or finding out if you've done well on a piece of examination paper, or whatever it's going to be, have faith. Be at peace. Do not be afraid. Faithfulness as followers of Jesus depends on living by faith because of the peace of God in us. This is a distinct peace. It's based on Jesus saying, "It is done." Peace comes to us because he said, it is finished. The work that I need to do, it's done. There is no more that you can do from now on. All your fears, all your worries, all your anxiety is finished with because he said it's finished. Take that in for a moment, because so am I at the moment, you know. Jesus said it's done. So what we need to do is grab hold of that doneness. Sorry, it's not a word. If I'd written that particular thing down today, I would have found a better word. Grab hold of it. And say, that's mine. And in the midst of what I'm going through, it is done. In the midst of what's happening or what has happened in my family, it is done. In my children's lives, in my parents' lives, it is done. In my husband's life, in my family's life, my sisters, my brothers, my cousins, my aunts, it is done. It is finished. He sorted it already. He's done it. This is the peace with God. And what's missing in so many of our lives is that peace. Why? Well, that's the next point. Why don't we trust in this? Because we don't lean on God. The peace of God is grown when we lean on Him, when there is nowhere else to go. You have to trust. You have to trust someone. You have to have that faith to actually step out and do something, don't you? Peace with God is given. The peace of God grows. That peace of God is experienced in our lives when we lean on Him. When we're near to Him, when that likeness of Jesus starts to be grown in each of us, when we lean on Him, we find that we are more than satisfied. We learn to be content in any situation. By golly, sometimes I wonder how many situations I'm going to come across. And in my life, I've come across quite a vast range of situations, living kind of situations. And I always thought that it would just be, oh, well, I'd grow up and be much like my parents. Well, that didn't happen. But the opportunity to do different things isn't over just because you've got to a particular place. God still wants you to grow, still wants you to develop, and He will. Oh, there's no retirement. Not in the kingdom of God. There is no end to the study. This is the thing that attracted me to Christianity. Dawn, I'm trying to think. 20 years ago. 30 years ago, let's put it that way. 30 years ago, contentment. I became a Christian on Pentecost Sunday. Again, Christian. Oh, sorry, this is the second testimony for today. I became an again, born again. On Pentecost Sunday. It was that opportunity. I did not feel peace. I was in the middle of my exams and I was desperate. I was wanting to find that peace. So I thought, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go to church. I know that there's somebody there that can listen to my anxiety at the moment. So I went and kind of God spoke to me. Never heard that before. I'd always sat bored in church and I was pretty shocked that God spoke. But He spoke to me that day. And I found peace. I also found a heck of a lot more than just peace. But that's for another testimony. When we discover this truth, we can grow in our trust with Jesus. A passing hunger for the world and its comforts and the lack of conflict or a recognition that we need some wealth or seeing the shortfalls in what we don't have and your next door neighbours have, this is not peace. When you feed on the worldly snacks, we start to see the banquet that God has given us. then our appetite is really just not for it. Should I say the worldly snacks? God's banquet is going to be there. Deep, lasting satisfaction comes from continually feeding your mind and soul on the truth of Jesus. Do you ever wonder why God gave Moses an incomplete sentence to tell the Israelites who he is? I am. Tell the Israelites, I am. I am what? I am seems to be, it needs something to follow it, doesn't it? But if you're lost, he says, I am the way. If you're confused, he says, I am wisdom. If you're afraid, he says, I am with you. If you're hurt, he says, I am your healer. So whatever you face in this life, he says, I am. And you fill in the blank. Because he is everything. Someone once wrote a book called The Victorious Christian. It was about a woman called Fanny Crosby. Crosby was the author of over 8,000 songs. In fact, she wrote so many that she had to write under pseudonyms so that more of her songs could actually get into the hymn books. At 6 weeks of age, Fanny Crosby developed a minor eye inflammation. She was taken to a local doctor for treatment. However, the doctor who treated her used the wrong medicine in her eyes, and she became totally and permanently blind because of his carelessness. Interviewed years later, Fanny Crosby said she harbored no bitterness against the physician. In fact, she once said, if I could meet him now, I would thank him over and over for making me blind. She felt that her blindness was a gift from God to help her write the hymns that flowed from her pen. How could Fanny Crosby, blinded by tragic failure or a careless doctor, still be filled with such joy and power for her music? Because she kept focused on God. She looked to God rather than around at her disability and her weaknesses. She suddenly realized, not just suddenly, but throughout her life, that she could do all things because Jesus gave her strength. And just as we lean on God, so we cast those cares upon him. Give your burdens to the one who can carry and control what's going on in your lives. What's weighing you down at the moment? What seems to smother your peace? Anxiety or worry or fear or block in a thing? What strangles your thoughts of faith? And why did Jesus tell us to cast our cares upon him? Casting our worries on someone else or letting them control isn't natural. It has to be learned with instructions, doesn't it? That's what Jesus taught us. But that's what he asks of us. Peace is a grace that's lived out in our lives. What is peace? It's living in the constant flow of God's grace. It's being in the right relationship with God through Jesus. And how is peace purchased? At the cross. Sin and separation was confronted, not appeased. Sin was not overlooked, it was paid for. The righteousness of God, Jesus Christ, fought sin and won. And the result is peace for us to reach out to. Peace with God is that gift. The peace of God is worked out as we grow in that living grace. So today, how can we do this? It's not easy. Peace with God means that we are saved, forgiven, sealed. The peace of God is living daily, understanding that I am right with God. It's overwhelming realization that no matter what, whenever you leave a place or whenever you enter a place, you will be going in there and going out of there with God. In Sunderland, when we go out onto the streets, we go out and we say, whatever we meet, whoever we meet, may we meet the people and meet the face of Jesus. May we see the people and Jesus in those that we meet. Does that mean that we'll see these lovely, happy, smiling faces? Sometimes, but they're usually drunk. Does that mean that in the person that's hitting the local police officer, that Jesus is there? Well, somewhere in the midst of all of that, possibly the person being hit is Jesus. Is that in the person, in the girl who is vulnerable because she has fallen down, hurt her ankle, she has cut feet, and she's drunk, and no one's taking care of her? Yes. We are still meeting that girl and still see her as the face of Jesus, as the person that we meet. That is the peace that we go out with. We're not going out to deal with the world. We're going out to see Jesus in the world. What's he want us to deal with? How does he want us to go? It gives us excitement, not fear. It gives us a passion. It doesn't overwhelm us. I'll skip the next bit. It's a wholeness for our lives, a wholeness for all our lives. I talked about shalom being wholeness, didn't I? It brings courage. I don't know if anybody is a bit like me, but I'm in one of those waiting times. What has God got for me next? What does he want me to do next? Philip Brooks, a very famous pastor of the last century, was in his office once, and he was pacing the floor and he was frustrated. Somebody walked in and saw him and asked, "What's the matter, Pastor?" He says, "I'm in a hurry." But God isn't. Do you know, that's how I feel sometimes. I'm in a hurry to do a ministry, but God has me where he wants me to be at the moment, and he has you exactly where he wants you to be. If you're listening to him, you are where he wants you to be. If you're not listening to him, now's your chance. If you want to start listening to God, talk to somebody today and we'll pray with you. Somebody will put you on the right path. All of us are looking for what that is. I'm looking for what it means. What does God have for me? But God is in no hurry to push me in the right direction. Do you know what? He's waiting for Christ to be formed in each of us and to be shared by each of us. And yes, this is the last point in conclusion. Nearly there, 5 minutes late. Peace is offered to us as a gift from Jesus. Peace is promised as we lean on Jesus daily. Peace is offered to everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. The peace of God is available to us no matter what our circumstances, our struggles, our failures, or our fears. But also remember, the peace offered to us by God is not the absence of those things in the world. But Jesus, he's more powerful than anything that we can face. So which do you want? The promise of God to control you, or just the absence of things in the world? Amen.